Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Wednesday. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Be a sub above, live in L.A. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. We didn't plan it this way. Joy and I match today. We're wearing yellow. Just one time a year I wear it, and Joy's wearing a yellow dress, I swear to God.
I never wear yellow.
We did not plan this. It's just the way it worked out.
I can't believe it.
Something's in the air.
You know what it is? It's the summer. It's my favorite time of the year in L.A. People are at the beach.
Happy.
The sun's out.
Masks
We're
off.
Free. It was so weird. I was down at the promenade yesterday and, like, walking into a store, fumbling with my mask, and they're like, you don't need it.
How good does that feel?
Oh, it's like freedom. Chicken noodle soup. It's great. It does. It feels like freedom.
It's great to have you in today. You ever watch the news? Especially like CNN or Fox News or MSNBC on cable, and they'll have an expert, a military expert, a political expert. They just throw that word around. Like, everybody's an expert. The other day I'm watching a show, and they're talking about UFOs, and they had a UFO expert. And I'm thinking, how can you be an expert in something you've never really seen up close? It's hard to be an expert. Like, to me, an expert is like a veterinarian with animals. That would be an expert. But everybody on these networks is throwing out expert. He's an expert on UFOs and military and foreign affairs. And I'm always a little skeptical. I'd like to introduce you to an expert. Kevin Durant is an offensive expert. In offensive basketball, that's what an expert looks like. He can dribble. He can fade. He can hit threes. He can drive. He can finish. He can slash. He is a complete offensive machine. Do you know how exhausting it is to play 48 minutes of an NBA game? How exhausting that is. That's a 9,000 calorie burn. And it's not like KD's got a, you know, extra pudding. He's the skinniest great player ever. He plays an entire game, 49 minutes, 17 rebounds, 10 assists, has to defend. And that was an all-time performance. And what's just remarkable, you know, the last five seasons in which he's been healthy at the end of it, he has been the best offensive player on the best team. So this is not a surprise. And that game, I mean, if you really think about it, now that LeBron's older and is out, there really is no competition for the best player. Because this has always been a 75-25 offense over defense league. Giannis can't shoot. Kyrie has struggled with injuries. Dame's a small player. Luka's too young. AD can't stay healthy. Embiid's got injuries. James Harden has no playoff credibility. Kawhi, he's hurt again, kind of a question mark. This is now that LeBron's out. LeBron's always been sort of the roadblock. Now that he's out, this is Kevin's league. It should be Kevin's league. The last five seasons in which he's been healthy at the end, he's been like the best player on the, you know, best team. And it was really funny watching this game last night. Did you notice how emotional Durant was and Steve Nash was at the end of that game? Like Kevin's not on the floor. He'll be frustrated time to time, but he's not a fist pumper. That's not really his thing, right? He's kind of stoic sometimes. Did you see how emotional he was? Because I think Kevin knows last night's win, they're in the finals. I don't care about Philadelphia. I don't care about Atlanta. I don't care about the Bucks. I think Kevin knew, I gotta buy time tonight. Kyrie will come back eventually. It's probably the next series. And Harden was obviously going to be rusty. He was, that first quarter, it was like, has James ever played basketball? I think Kevin knew, can I buy us a night? That's it. I just got to get us a night. If I can get us through this, it's the same way I look at the football season. When Joy and I go into a football season, you can't take a day off for 5 months. And I always look at Thanksgiving. If I can get to Thanksgiving, I'm not sick. I'm ready to go. I can see that the next Monday I show up after Thanksgiving, I can see light at the end of the tunnel. I can see Christmas vacation. I thought Kevin Durant at the end of that game, he knew, okay, if I can get past tonight, Harden's not going to be really good. He's not going to be 100%. He's not going to have his timing. He's not going to be able to really defend. And he got him through it. I mean, that's what an offensive expert looks like. To be that effortless and that efficient in the biggest game of the year against a supposedly great defensive team. Again, what's amazing about great players, and I know we talk about him nonstop, but I've said this multiple times. Does everybody understand how much greater like Peyton Manning, Brady, Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan, Durant are? LeBron, think about this. Every time Kevin Durant in his entire career after maybe his rookie season goes into a game, the whole game plan is stop that guy. And nobody can. I mean, that's what greatness is. Kobe, for most of his career, we got to stop Kobe tonight. You looked at film at Kobe. Nobody was sitting around breaking down film on Derek Fisher or Brian Shaw. When you really think about how great Peyton Manning was, he got everybody's best shot. Like defensive, I've talked to defensive coordinators. They're like, oh, yeah, it's Peyton Manning week. It's Tom Brady week where you don't want to be humiliated. Like Milwaukee does not want to be humiliated when they play Kevin Durant. Harden's not 100%. Kyrie's not playing. So Milwaukee, this great defensive team knew, just stop Kevin. They couldn't stop him. They didn't. There wasn't even a speed bump. I mean, what you watched last night is the Jordan 63 points against the Celtics. He lost that playoff game. Is everybody knew Michael, you got to stop Michael, we can win. Nobody could stop Michael. That's why when people come up to me and go, you guys talk stars too much. I'm like, do you understand how much better? And Chris Middleton's a good player. He is a 19-point-a-game NBA player. Do you understand how great the truly greats are? Chris Middleton's not getting doubles, and he's giving you 19. Kevin Durant's the whole focus of Milwaukee last night. The coaching staff, the players, and that's what you get. I don't want to hear about UFO experts. I'm done with UFO experts. That is an expert in offense, and Steve Nash afterwards in awe.
Historic performance. I mean, he played the entire game. He barely missed. You know, we know he's capable of nights like this, but to do it tonight, you know, we lose Kai. You know, James obviously is soldiering through, you know, his ailments. We're down bodies, we're wounded, and for him to have the toughness, the mentality, you know, that's what makes him one of the all-time greats. And so this is a performance that, you know, a signature performance, you know, for Kevin, and it was beautiful to watch.
And you could tell with Nash and KD's reaction, they could tell, we just got to get past tonight, and they did. All right, this is devastating news for the Clippers. That's really bad. It could get way worse. Kawhi is out for Game 5 against Utah. That's a game tonight. He's out. Utah's going to win. Now, you can't put him on Donovan Mitchell. He's going to just bring down the house, and you don't have to guard Kawhi. Now, Paul George is your primary scorer, and that is a role Paul George has not always been comfortable in. The Jazz are going to win. They're going to win going away. And according to reports now, Leonard has told teammates, be prepared. I may miss the series. That's not great. You know, I was talking, we see all these injuries. I was talking to Gary Payton yesterday. Gary Payton, the glove, is a Hall of Fame basketball player. I grew up in the Northwest. He played at Oregon State and with a Sonics great player. Gary Payton played no fewer than 80 games, only three times in 17 years. That he played fewer than 80 games. And when it was fewer, it was like 78, 79. And in that era, there were harder fouls. You got pushed around more. You didn't have state-of-the-art treatment like now. There was more fatiguing travel. And Gary Payton never missed games. And I asked him, everybody's getting hurt. Is it luck? Is it a condensed schedule? And he said something very interesting to me. He said, you know, the more power players get in any sport, the less they have to practice and the less conditioning you can demand of them. And he goes, when I played, I had to guard guys that were like Michael Jordan strong. He goes, I didn't get hurt because I was lifting. I would be in the facility for 5 hours lifting for three. That's just not the way the game works. In the NFL, offensive lines have gotten so bad. I mean, I'd never even talked about offensive lines my entire career doing this. In the last 5 years, it's all I talk about. That's why I like the Cleveland Browns this year. Their offensive line's easily the best in football. is that why do the offensive lines get bad? We still have offensive linemen in college, great ones. But with the CBA, the players didn't get necessarily all the things they wanted, but they got less practice time. What does that mean? Well, what's the unit on the football field that needs the most practice time? Offensive lines. It's a very technical position. I mean, Myles Garrett can rush the passer in any defense. You know what I mean? But an offensive line, to be a cohesive unit, needs practice time. Well, in the last CBA, they took away some camps. They took away some practices. Even great college offensive linemen take longer now, usually year two, before you can count on them. And players won, but did they really? You know, the players now have more power than they've ever had in the NBA. But players have always run the NBA. But now you can't demand as much. The weightlifting, the off seasons, a lot of these guys just check out, they come back, and they play, and by the end of a season, they're banged up. Some of it's the condensed schedule. I'm not denying that. Some of it could be bad luck. But we have literally every star on virtually every team now is hurt. This is beyond condensed schedule and bad luck. Players, when they win in these collective bargaining agreements, one of the wins they always want is give me more off season, fewer practices, less nonsense. At the end of a season, that's not always a win. We know Russell Wilson, LeBron James for most of his career, and Brady don't get hurt much. Why? Because of the time they put into their bodies in the off season. I mean, LeBron, Tom Brady, and Russell Wilson have nothing in common. Two play football, one plays basketball, one's 6'9", one's closer to 5'9". You know, one's kind of skinny and tall, one's bulky and tall, one's short and squatty. But it's their commitment to the offseason, their commitment with training that allows them at the end of seasons to be strong and healthy. Kawhi Leonard, Anthony Davis, I mean, you're just, and I'm not saying these guys don't work hard, but it's got to be more than a condensed schedule. This series now, it's very interesting. Utah's going to obviously win game five. That's it. But remember, if Kawhi Leonard doesn't return for this series, if the Clippers get ousted from the playoffs, if Paul George does not step up as a primary scorer and lift them to a win, Steve Ballmer, the Clippers owner, we thought we were past Kabloom stage. He's not going to just sit there. Because Kawhi Leonard, he missed 20 games last year. He missed 20 games this year. Now he's hurt in the playoffs. So, you know, this, you know, I keep saying the Brooklyn Nets are fragile. Boy, the Clippers organization is so fragile. I thought they got past it. I thought, now, okay, here we go. Now they're back. They're past the kabloom stage. And then this happens last night, and you're like, oh, boy, they're not winning in Utah. I don't think they could win a game in Utah without Kawhi Leonard. They could probably narrowly win at home without him, but this could change everything, absolutely everything. And it could change the but remember, Kawhi has got an opt-out. Probably won't opt out, but he has one. Ballmer's not going to sit there. This now will expose Paul George for the next two games. If Paul George does not play well in the next two games and Steve Ballmer's watching, they're making a move. Which, by the way, maybe Portland benefits. Maybe the Lakers could benefit. Maybe somebody in the league benefits. But they'll move him. No, they won't trade him to the Lakers, but they will move him if the next two games are ugly. My every opinion I had yesterday on the Clippers, all of it changes. You know, Joey and I always say this, don't hold us to opinions when information changes. I can hear Jazz fans saying, well, Mike Conley was hurt. Mike Conley's not Kawhi Leonard. Okay. I mean, Kyrie's great. He's not KD. Harden's great. He's not KD. Mike Conley's not Kawhi Leonard. This is a total franchise changer, a total series changer. He's the best defender on the wing in this series. He's the best get-a-bucket guy on the wing in this series. He's mostly unaffected by press and negativity. He just puts his head down and plays. What a break for Utah and what a bad break for the Clippers.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Tua threw five picks yesterday at Miami Dolphins practice. It was raining, so there's that. Listen, everything's something. Nothing is everything. It's bad optics. These are the last five things that have become news with Tua. Week 16, bench for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Week 17, three picks, overwhelmed against Buffalo. Offseason, admitted he didn't really know the playbook. Yesterday, five picks. It's not exactly great when there was a term, tank for Tua. I'll go back to my epiphany. I really liked Tua for a long time, college, pre-draft. And then, at the start of the season, I kept getting little bits and pieces of video, and I said, it's not going to work. There's no special here. You got to be special, because that's when the play breaks down. That's what Elway had, Marino's arm and release, and Peyton Manning. There's no special. Size, smaller than average. Arm, not significant. Athleticism, really, really average. Health, question marks. Now, everybody has always said, he is accurate. It's funny about Alabama quarterbacks. I went back and looked at what we said about A.J. McCarron. We compared him to Drew Brees. John Harbaugh did too. Tua, it's his accuracy. What was Mac Jones?
Woo!
He is accurate. All Alabama quarterbacks are accurate because they have 6 seconds to throw, and their number three and four receivers are usually better than their opponent's number one receiver. Greg McElroy completed 71% of his throws. I went and looked this morning. We praised his accuracy. Blake Sims, 65%. Jake Coker, 67%. You seeing a trend with Alabama quarterbacks? Woo! Their accuracy. You know, folks, when you got 6 seconds, you have a great running game, you're throwing on second and three or third and one, your receivers are wide open, even in the SEC, because they're all first-rounders. It's amazing how every quarterback at Alabama, A.J. McCarron, guys I like, Greg McElroy, good broadcaster too, Blake Sims, Tua, Mac Jones, oh, the accuracy. I need something beyond that. The accuracy is kind of, when you go to a restaurant, the restrooms are clean. You probably shouldn't advertise that. It's the minimum I'm expecting at a restaurant. The bathrooms are clean. Five interceptions. Not everything, but keep telling me how accurate he is. Just keep telling me how accurate he is. You got to get me something beyond that. And judging by yesterday, he wasn't that accurate.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Nick right now joins us, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. First things first, host. So let's just talk KD. I don't really buy legacy game stuff. I think, you know, like I heard that for LeBron so many times. Oh, legacy. And it's like he's a top one or two player ever. Let's move on. Kevin Durant is one of the great offensive players ever. He's got titles. He's got MVPs. He's outplayed, some would argue, LeBron in big games. But KD was so great last night. There are those that are saying maybe it was a legacy game. Where do you fall on that?
Yeah, I don't think KD had anything to lose last night. But I do think he had a fair amount to gain if he gave us a transcendent performance. And he gave us more than a transcendent performance. It's the second most points he's ever had in a playoff game, off by one of his career high. It's the second most rebounds he's ever had. It's the most assists he's ever had. He did it all in the same game. And the most impressive number is not the 49, the 17, or the 10. It's the 48. Playing all 48 minutes when, of this generation, the only guy you've been able to rely on doing that in these spots is LeBron, who I think it's fair to say has a very different body and build than Kevin Durant. Colin, it's one of the most impressive playoff games any wing has played in the history of the league. I went through the archives this morning. I think it's better than any playoff game Larry Bird ever played. Larry had an unbelievable Game 7 against the Pistons. I think this was better. I think it's arguably better than any playoff game Kobe's ever had. And for Durant, the reason that it adds to his legacy is because we've never really seen him in this spot where he is the superhero that is outgunned and outmanned. He's only played two series in his career where he didn't have an MVP alongside him. The one when Russ got hurt in 2013 or 2014, and KD had to play against the Grizzlies without him and they lost. And one series against the Spurs without Steph in round one when the Warriors were clearly better. Seeing KD have to do the Jordan versus the Celtics, the LeBron versus the Warriors in 2015 with no Kyrie and no Kevin Love was enthralling. And I was there, Colin. It's the best in-person performance I've ever witnessed. And it does, when you start talking, Colin, about the best wings ever, you have LeBron, you have Michael, you have Kobe, you have Bird, and then Durant. A performance like that, I do think Durant could at some point start to elbow Bird off that wing forward Mount Rushmore. Like, I think that is absolutely in play. He played a perfect basketball game last night.
So Kawhi is out for game five. He, you know, I was telling the staff this morning, I said if players didn't have numbers, they had symbols, Kawhi would be a question mark. Personality, availability. Yeah. He's the, you know, riddle wrapped in the enigma. You just, when he's there, he's great. You're not sure if he's there. And this morning I just said, everything I said yesterday about Kawhi and the Clippers doesn't count because the new information has completely changed. I think now, I don't even know if he's going to play the rest of the series, but game five is going to be a landslide Utah win, in my opinion. Your thoughts on his injury going forward?
Well, so a couple things. One is, I think there might be some in the moment, like, hey, today, now's the chance for Paul George to do what Kevin Durant did. It's totally unfair to Paul George. Kevin Durant's one of the 15 best players ever. Paul George, in my opinion, is not one of the 15 best players currently. You cannot ask Paul George to go into Utah and carry the team. They desperately need Kawhi. They're not going to have Kawhi, so they won't. By the way, they haven't won in Utah in the last 2 years with Kawhi. So I don't know that they were going to win this series even if Kawhi was healthy. Without him, they're cooked. I think so. I think they will lose tonight. And if he's not there for game six, I think they'll lose game six. Certainly would lose game seven in Utah. I do think, however, Colin, and I think you and I might disagree on this, I think if they could have lost to Utah with a healthy Kawhi. If that happened, then I think Kawhi's free agency decision is a real decision. Like, man, we've lost in the round two twice. Neither time were we playing some juggernaut team. Is this the best place for me to win a championship? But if they lose because he's out after they'd won twice in blowout fashion, I think it's actually easier for Kawhi to stay with the Clippers and say, we would have won the title, but I got hurt. And so I think that obviously the best thing for them is he doesn't get hurt and they win. But if they were going to lose with him healthy and lose with him injured, I think for long-term purposes, it might actually be better for Kawhi staying with the Clippers that he's going to miss a game or two.
We're both dads, and I've joked before with kids, you have to constantly adjust your expectations. When my kids were five, I thought they were going to be president of the United States. By 10, I was hoping they could be president of maybe a small company. And by 15, maybe they can be president of a frat house someday. But, you know, you adjust your expectations.
Sure.
I look at Milwaukee.
That's right.
We've got to readjust what they are. They're not a great team. They're getting so many breaks. They still can't win with breaks.
They're the only healthy team left.
That's it.
It's unbelievable.
Kawhi left the East.
Everyone's hurt.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Kawhi left the East. LeBron left the East. The Celtics unraveled. Everybody on the Nets is hurt. They're still unable to win. What are they now?
Well, right now they are screwed. And I don't know. By the way, I don't think they're dead in this series because I don't know if KD can do that again. I don't expect Harden to all of a sudden be able to, like, move. I was shocked he played last night. I was even more shocked he played 46 minutes. But that loss last night was so indefensible in every facet. Offensively, Giannis, at the end of the game, was clearly spooked out of going to the line, which is why he took the fadeaway jumper over Harden with a minute 20 left instead of going to the basket. And I think it's why Barkley said it after the game. He fumbled the ball on that last possession because he was trying to rush so they wouldn't foul him. Also, James Harden is out there on one leg. How do you not attack him defensively? He's not a great perimeter defender, even a good perimeter defender, healthy. On one hamstring, it would have been every time they did it, they got a layup. I can't believe Budenholzer didn't have them do it repeatedly. And lastly, Colin, they didn't double-team Kevin Durant once the entire game.
I know.
They only sent help his way a half dozen times, and KD took zero jump shots when they sent help. If Jeff Green's going to beat you, Jeff Green's going to beat you. But the top 15 all-time player who is shooting flames out of his eyeballs, get the ball out of his hands. Like, I couldn't believe it. And so if you're Milwaukee, you're like, all right, our superstar has a giant hole in his game. And our coach, year after year after year in the postseason, can't make the obvious adjustment. That's not a great place to be. Now, they are the only healthy team left, and maybe that is going to be what matters, and maybe Giannis will have a brilliant game six, but man, up 17 with 7 minutes left in the third, and the other team's got one guy. You can't lose that game, and they found a way to lose that game.
One quick football topic. The NFLPA, the Players Association, released their first influencer hot list in 2020.
Is this about Brady?
What, time out. Okay, finish the story.
Why do you always do this to me?
Okay, so they looked at total engagements. This is, forget that Brady's number one in the league, which is kind of amazing because social media is a young person's game. He actually finished ahead of Patrick Mahomes, who is viewed as much cooler and lit. So what are you mad? What do you make of the fact that old man Brady, even in the young man's game, beats Mahomes? It's kind of fascinating.
Well, here's what I make of it. And I two things. And neither of these things are going to be very professional, but this is it was not professional of you to bring up this non-story just to troll me.
Number one.
First of all, Joy, if you could, in the remaining 2 hours and 20 minutes on the show, try to use some of your sources to dig into the actual metrics of this to see how many of these engagements are actually from Colin Cowherd. How many is it Colin liking and re-liking and liking again Brady tweets?
Comment,
like, how much is that?
Emojis.
That's first of all. Second of all, and this is the part that is not really fair to my friend Colin, but whatever. I'm not on a lot of sleep. I was at the game last night, and this is unnecessary. I would just like the audience to pretend for a moment that ranked number one by the NFLPA in social media engagements was not Tom Brady, was not Patrick Mahomes, was, say, Baker Mayfield. Would Colin think it's a good thing? Or would Colin be like, oh, Baker, more interested in the old Twitter twatter than he is the old quarterbacking? But no, his patron Saint Brady's doing it, so it's great. It's why he's the GOAT. It's so ridiculous. I can't believe you squeezed this topic into this. It's unbelievable.
That, you know, he makes a good point. If it was Baker, I may have been a little well, Tom's also got six rings,
yeah,
so you're allowed when you have seven. My bad, I lost count.
Championships,
seven.
Okay. You're allowed to do the Twitter twatter.
Okay. Yeah, she makes
That's
a good.
Great.
She makes
nice yellow, guys.
Thank you.
Yeah, right. I missed the memo today.
We did not.
Tell me next time.
We did not do this on purpose.
Nick Wright, good stuff. First things first. Yeah, Brady finished number one. It is interesting. Some of these guys finishing high. Like, I'm surprised Lamar Jackson's top 10 because he doesn't seem interested in that stuff at all. But he finished. Baker's not in it.
He has a lot of endorsements, though.
Oh, okay. So J.J. Watt, obviously. Russell Wilson, who's very good, always has the right. Gronk, Beckham, Cam, Juju Smith-Schuster, probably more than he should. DK Metcalf's insane, an athlete, he's young. Lamar Jackson, 10. Baker's not in it.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So there's a reason that somebody once created resumes. And that is, so let me look at your history. What are you consistently?
Yeah.
So that's why you have resumes. So you come out and you go, okay, this is what you do, this is what you do, this is what you do. I know what you do. I may not always know what you can't do. You're going to hide that, but I know what you can do efficiently. So when I hear this, oh, the Clippers, it's just bad luck. Nonsense. I don't think I'm a lucky guy or an unlucky guy. I think over the course of a lifetime, you get both. I've had some bad luck streaks and some good luck streaks. Kawhi and Paul George are exactly what their resume told you they were. What was Kawhi Leonard coming to the Clippers? Nonverbal, a little enigmatic, load management, and his health was always tricky. That's exactly what this story is. His health is an issue. What was Paul George? He's a great player, all-star. He kind of shrinks in playoff games. That's been his biggest problem with the Clippers. Their resumes told you what they were and kind of what they weren't. Both have happened in these playoffs. Kawhi's now hurt. Paul George has been inconsistent. It's like Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis was hurt constantly in New Orleans. When the Lakers acquired him, you're like, man, you can't trust Anthony Davis. Well, New Orleans couldn't trust him. That's what the resume told you. When Brooklyn went out and got KD and Kyrie, let's stay with Kyrie. He could be emotionally a little erratic. He took a sabbatical first week of the season, and he gets hurt a lot. Yeah, he's hurt again. It's exactly what he is. Harden's injury is a shocker. He never got hurt. Donovan Mitchell's a guy that doesn't get hurt. That's a little surprising, but both Harden and Mitchell are back. But Kevin Durant, oh, he was great last night. Kevin Durant's great all the time, and he's brittle. So when you start stacking up, you know, Jimmy Butler looked very frustrated at the end of the year with his teammates. That was his resume. Jimmy Butler got worn out by teammates, Philadelphia that couldn't get along, wouldn't put in the commitment of Ben Simmons. He got frustrated in Chicago with young players that wouldn't put in the time. Now he's frustrated with Tyler Hero, who got devoured by the Miami nightlife. So I don't believe in this luck thing. The Clippers' two stars have just become what they've always been. The timing stinks. The timing's bad. But Kawhi's, this is why he and Pop didn't work. He wasn't available all the time. Great when he's available. And Paul George now will be asked to go on the road in Utah, one of the toughest places to play basketball on the planet, and be a number one. I'm going to say he probably, over the next three games, will have a couple of stinkers. That's why we created resumes. All these teams, oh, our luck is terrible. Yes, there's bad luck. I mean, LeBron James losing Kevin Love and Kyrie in a finals. You know, the Raptors finals where KD and Klay get hurt. You're like, oy, oy, oy. But when you acquire people, you're not just acquiring talent. You're looking at their health. You're paying these guys $30 million. You're looking at their health. Are they leaders? Are they dependable? Are they in the NFL? A few years ago, I was in the Chargers war room for the first day of the draft, and I got to see their board. You know, they keep it under wraps until the draft. They wouldn't let me take any pictures of the board because they had little dots for players. They took off their board because of character issues. And they took 20 players, a couple of them great, who were drafted by other people off their board for injury issues. Two of them notable. What's happened to those two? They're now hurt in the NFL. So the Kawhi and Paul, the Clippers situation is what they signed up for. But the Clippers are the Clippers, so when Kawhi and Paul George say they want to be Clippers, you just accept it. You deal with that.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The NFLPA, the Players Association, came out with what they call like a hot list on what players do the best with social media. And social media is not really for people, you know, 60 plus, 50 plus. It's a young person's game. And Brady finished as the oldest NFL player, number one, ahead of young stars and wide receivers and cool guys. And I will say this, we all know that Brady's body has aged well. I mean, Breeze, Peyton Manning, Big Ben, they looked older. They played older. They had limitations on what they could do. So that goes without saying. But I do like the way Brady's aging. I remember when Brett Favre at the end, he got rigid and he got cranky, and I'm not going to learn a new offense, and I want to do it my way. I'm going to go now move to the South, get on my tractor, hide from everybody. And it was like, nothing against Favre, but like that's not an elegant way to wrap it up. Tom's like, I want a new coach, a new playbook, a new coordinator, new teammates, young teammates. I mean, Tampa's one of the youngest teams in the NFL. Brady's aging well as a human. Like, a lot of people want to go and retire in Palm Springs or Florida, live in a golf course, and that's what they do, and ride a golf cart around. There's nothing wrong with that. But I always have had a fear that I'll just get older faster, and I don't want to get older faster. I am going to retire either in near a college campus or in a city or somewhere in a mountain ski community, so I'm moving and I'm active at 7,000 feet and getting workouts. I'm not rooting to get old. Like, I like having energy. Some people just want to golf, and that's what they're going to do. It's over. It's cocktails at 4. It's bed by 8. It's Matlock. It's over. There's nothing wrong with that. People are very happy doing that. But one of the things about Brady that I really appreciate is that he's aging beyond football. He's aging really smartly. He's fun. He's active. He's growing. He's taking chances. He's around young people. He laughs at himself. You know, I remember years and years and years ago, you know, my late mother, and she was a funny, funny person until the end. Very funny and witty British mom. And one day she made a comment about politics to me, and I said, Mom, stop watching that garbage. I'm not going to tell you what she was watching, but I'm like, stop it. You don't want to end up crazy old cranky cat lady. Go be happy. Turn the TV off. Put some music on. Go dance in the living room. Be happy. You don't want to be old crazy cat lady. She didn't like cats. She had dogs. But it's that is something. Like that's how you're going to be remembered that last 10 years when you're screaming at kids on the lawn. And Brady's not like that. He's got young kids. He's fun. He's growing. He's active. New stuff. Forget the football. That's how you age. To me, that's an elegant way to age. You know what? Johnny Carson, last great show. Boom. I'm going to go play tennis. That's the way you do it. You don't want to be doing Winnebago commercials as a sportscaster. My teeth falling out. Do these dentures. Reverse mortgages. That's not going to happen. I'll never do a reverse mortgage commercial. It's never going to happen. I'll make a personal guarantee.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So Jay Glazer Jay Glazer's interesting. Jay Glazer is one of those guys that he reports big stories. He's not sitting on his phone all day. Jay just goes out and gets, he's a big game hunter. So he is, when Jay says something, it's true. So Jay Glazer was on Pat McAfee this morning, talked about Aaron Rodgers. He said, I know Aaron still wants out, without a doubt, absolutely, still wants out. Every time somebody called the Packers, it was immediately shut down. What these teams need to do is continue to call and continue to call. So it's interesting because Aaron's approach to this, we talked about this yesterday, has very much been deniability. Jerry Jones was once asked, why aren't you on social media? And he said, I want deniability. I don't want to put anything down. Aaron's never getting quoted for any of this stuff. But never forget, April 29th is the biggest day and the biggest weekend for all NFL teams in the offseason, day one of the draft. That's the biggest day for the Packers offseason. On that day, Aaron Rodgers or somebody connected to him leaked to multiple star reporters, I'm unhappy, I want out. Now, we know the Packers didn't leak it because why would they create that kind of chaos and mayhem going into their biggest weekend of the offseason? Aaron did it right at the start of the draft. 10 minutes before, three great reporters, all trustable, all reliable, had the same exact information. Folks have been in this business 30 years. Doesn't work that way. It's always staggered. One guy's got it here, one guy an hour later. All three, same time, boom. Somebody on that side leaked it. So Aaron now was not quoted doing it. Aaron wouldn't talk to Mike Tirico at the Kentucky Derby. Hawaii's just having fun. And yesterday, he was very glib and very casual and very indifferent. Here's a sample from him being on that golf match with Brady and Bryson DeChambeau and Mickelson.
You're having a great time. You've really kept a low profile this offseason. I've hardly seen your name at all. You haven't hosted any TV shows or been in and involved in any kind of controversy or anything. It's been a nice, peaceful offseason for you, it sounds like, KR.
It's been, thank you, BA. It's been one of those quiet off seasons you just dream about, where you can just kind of go through your process on your own quietly. And, that's all you can ask for as an older player in the league and someone who's been around for a long time and just enjoys that time to yourself, to just relax, to not be bothered, to not have any obligations or anything going on. And, I think that's what this off season has been about. It's been about really enjoying my time and spending it where I want to spend it and not feeling like I have to go anywhere, not having any responsibilities, but still being an NFL player.
He's coming off very happy, very casual, just kind of indifferent. But remember, he's the one on draft day, his side dropped the bomb. And now Green Bay's got to clean it up. So there was always tension in this relationship, right? Like all relationships, husband, wife, you have tension. That's not the end of it. But if my wife served me papers from a lawyer this morning, all right, that changes the temperature in the room. That's kind of what Aaron did. He had his lawyer serve papers. I refuse to play here. That changes everything. That's different from, could you give me a heads up on my quarterback coach? Could you give me a heads up on Jordy Nelson? That's a couple having a little fight over allowance for one of their kids. That's not a game changer. What Aaron did on draft day messes up the biggest weekend for the Packers or any team. That's serving papers. That's signing up a lawyer and serving your papers and trying to humiliate you. You serve papers when I'm at lunch with my friends. That's trying to humiliate you. You can serve papers a lot of times. Serve it. He's at lunch right now serving papers in front of his buddies. So that's what Aaron did. So now he can be all casual and jokey. But according to Glazer, he wants out. This is serious business. He's presenting, because he's not quoted in any of this, he's got all this culpability. He could say, if they won't trade him. But I think it's fascinating. You know, people have said to me, God, you guys talk Aaron Rodgers. He's the MVP of the league. He's one of the three most important players in the league. And essentially, he has told a legendary franchise, Jay Glazer, I'm out. It's over. And I've always said, if Jordan Love could play, this is very solvable. If Green Bay looks at all this stuff, and they may have to make a determination at some point if Aaron truly will hold out, that can Jordan play? If Jordan can play, I'll go back to my theory on this: is they want him in the AFC. They don't want him to come back and burn him. You do not want Tom Brady coming back to burn you. So when Tom Brady chooses Tampa. I mean, for New England, it's a little bit of a, okay, if we do meet him, it's in the Super Bowl. We'll be fine with that. So, when Belichick trade Garoppolo to the Niners, if we do meet him, it's in a Super Bowl. And I think Green Bay looks at it that way. If we have to face him, he's got to get through Mahomes, Josh Allen, Justin Herbert, Lamar Jackson, all these great players. But Jay Glazer said, just keep calling. Just keep calling. So I think the team we all think makes sense, and it does, is Denver. They've got two pass rushers. They've got a very interesting roster, a Pro Bowl left tackle. They have good backs, excellent young receivers, a really good tight end. Denver is that team that, and Tampa, by the way, became that team. God, if Tampa could just get the quarterback right. You can roll your eyes when I say this, but if Denver can just get the quarterback right, that's a Super Bowl potential team. And you laugh at that. But Denver's had a lot of success recently and forever. I've been watching the NFL since 1972. Denver's mostly been good. And they got multiple Super Bowls. They got Super Bowls with Elway. They got one with Peyton Manning. And even when they weren't great at quarterback, Jake Plummer, they were interesting. They were around. So they've had good coaches, great player. They have a good roster. You know, you think about Tampa. Tampa, their history is a mess. I mean, Brady's the first great quarterback they've ever had. And he, just by joining them, I mean, very few people thought, oh, Tampa's winning the Super Bowl. I said, wild card team, be fun. And it changed everything. Aaron Rodgers to Denver, that's a really good football team. Now, I know Mahomes in the same division. Now, I get it. But by the way, when Brady went to Tampa, Drew Brees in the same division, Matt Ryan in the same division, those are good players. He's going to get Hall of Fame votes, or, you know, Drew Brees is a Hall of Famer. Sean Payton's a Hall of Fame coach. So this is Denver feels right to me. And, you know, there's just not that many teams, Joy. There's not many teams that the young teams have their young quarterbacks. Cincinnati's got theirs, and Cleveland has theirs, and Buffalo has theirs, and Kansas City Chargers have theirs. So you can take off about 10 teams, they have their young quarterback. Then there's another 10 to 15 teams that have a quarterback like a Dak, you're locked in financially. There's not many teams in this league that really need a quarterback. There's probably about six, you could argue, five or six. And there's not, I mean, Denver is right there.
Well, also, they don't want to send him to anywhere in the NFC.
Yeah, so AFC.
So that eliminates an entire conference of options.
And Denver's got two pass rushers. Green Bay wanted J.J. Watt, couldn't afford him.
It's not the only situation that's being eyed for a quarterback. We just saw the story the other day that Deshaun Watson would like to go to Denver. Like, it's there's obviously a desirable location.
And by the way, Aaron Rodgers, when he found out, remember Mark Schlereth reported that Broncos wanted him. Aaron reached out to Mark, probably because Aaron's like, it's close enough to the West Coast. They got a good rock. Tom Brady, when he was first called by Tampa, remember what Jason Light and Bruce Arians said? Tom knew their whole roster.
Yeah.
Tom's like, you guys need a right tackle. You probably need a second running back. Tom knew the whole roster. Aaron Rodgers isn't sitting around playing backgammon all day. Well, he knows the rosters. He makes a huge difference.
And Denver's, it's not a small city.
No, it's a big-time city.
It's a big city.
That's won championships.
That's won championships. It's got a big reputation.
They just won with an old quarterback, Peyton Manning.
It's not a Peyton Manning or Tom Brady kind of situation, really, because we know, well, we don't know when Tom is going to retire, obviously, but we don't think he's going to play for the next 8 years. I feel like that's safe statement.
If
Aaron just won the MVP. Like, Aaron's not on the last 2 years of his career.
Maybe Aaron is sending this out through Glazer. I don't know this, but because Aaron wants to get this thing done fast. Like, Aaron's telling
Green. It's more ideal for Aaron to be moved before the season so he has an offseason with that team.
It best serves Aaron Rodgers to make it clear through his media contacts, I'm not coming. You got to get over it. I'm not showing up. And if he does that, then Green Bay is more willing probably to move off him and get something in return. So if I was Aaron Rodgers and I wanted a camp, I want to go meet my new guys, what I would do is make it very clear. I am not coming. Don't waste your time. So that may be very smart by Aaron.
Yeah. It's more beneficial for Aaron to be moved quickly.